Let's give him a minute. Okay. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for coming here. I much appreciate to see all this amount of people coming to our session. And we're going to talk about application monitoring in Operations Manager 2012. Applications, we know that applications cause problems. They're hard to manage. They're hard to monitor. We need to understand how they're performing. We get tasked by the business to measure their availability, their reliability, their performance. And it's always hard to tell when they don't behave as expected, if it was an issue in the code, if it was an issue in the network, in the system. There's many moving parts that contribute to today's applications. And we'll show you what we have here in Operations Manager to help deal with this. But before we start, I would like to know from you guys, how many of you are operations folks, like managing systems? Okay, good half. How many of you are developers? Okay, about another 25% or a third. Good. So there's many aspects to application performance monitoring in Operations Manager. How many of you have used already Operations Manager in any of the previous versions, like 2007 or R2 or even the 2012 that was just released? Okay, quite a few. So those of you that have used it might be familiar with synthetic transactions. We have had synthetic transactions since 2007. It's a great way to measure availability and to measure the response time of the site from an external location, from another agent or from a server that you designate as your watcher node. That tells you if the application is up, and it tells you if you respond slowly. Great. But how do we understand when it's slow or when it's not responding, what's going on? So in Operations Manager 2012, by integrating some new technologies. So first of all, we have acquired a company called Avicode a year and a half ago, and I'll show you how this technology that we got from Avicode has been totally integrated in Operations Manager. That part takes care of the monitoring for .NET. And then there is some new code that we wrote to monitor Java. Let's take a step back. So I do my synthetic transaction. It tells me the application is up and maybe it's slow. Now I want to have some server-side code being also inspected to analyze what's going on in the server side. Is it an issue with the system, which is busy at the time, or is it an issue with the code that has a bug or something that can be optimized in it? Both these aspects contribute to an overall picture of what the application is doing. That's why we try to bring this all together. So our agenda for today pretty much will cover the way we do the .NET monitoring, which also includes the monitoring of the .NET code on the server side, as well as a client-side monitoring capability, where the user is there. So we have the synthetic transactions. They are simulated. They are scripts. They are artificial requests made to the app. And then we have our real users. What if we could measure what they're really experiencing? So as part of the .NET monitoring piece, we are also able, for those IIS-hosted applications, to instrument the browser. We send down some additional JavaScript to the browser that measures what the real end user experience is, so we can feel what the real population of users out there is seeing. Is the page slow to load, or is it the network slow? How much time is spent on the server? How much time is spent from the time I press enter in the browser after I've typed my URI, I sit there and wait for the result to come back, which might or might not be exactly the same as what a synthetic transaction tells me. Java is different, so our second part of the presentation today will cover the Java monitoring. We, as Operations Manager, as System Center, we have been mostly focused in the past, initially on Windows, and on the Microsoft ecosystem. In 2007 R2, we added the capability to monitor also Linux and Unix servers, and we continue to enhance that capability and to support more distributions. And in the 2012 version, we now expanded our monitoring capabilities also to Java. application servers. We'll see which ones. We cover the most common on the market. But this is different than the .NET monitoring capability. Has been written. It's a new piece of code, so it's our first attempt at monitoring Java. So we'll see how those are similar. At the same time, we'll see how they are different and where. So for this reason, we'll present them separately. And then we will wrap up how you can combine this rich server-side monitoring and the client-side monitoring and the perspectives from the watchers in an all-encompassing view or dashboard of how your application is performing. They can tell you really as a whole, from all these different points of view, how the application is behaving. Our goal is to be a single pane of glass, a single tool that allows you to monitor both the infrastructure, where Operation Manager is undoubtedly being already well proven as a tool, as well as the applications, so that we give an end-to-end and rich experience. We also want it to be easy, because we have heard that it's very painful to do management packs. We not only have heard it, we've felt it ourselves. We went through, we write management packs, and it's hard. So we don't want people to have to struggle writing management packs. We don't want to have the conversation going back and forth because the operations people cannot easily monitor an application when that application does not have the right instrumentation already baked in. Sometimes, you know, you write an application, you care about making it work, right? It works, it's good, deploy. But you don't necessarily have instrumented and built manageability into it, which means when it goes on the other side of the organization and needs to be monitored, it could be hard because the operations people don't know how the code works. The debug log might not be enough to understand if it's behaving well, and it doesn't have all those hooks that could be required to write the management packs. We don't do that now. We use, especially for .NET, instrumentation that we add on the fly to your application so that we can provide consistent metrics regardless of what the application does. In fact, we provide the same set of metrics, the same set of counters, the same type of events, and you'll see them in a few minutes, without having the developer to change any code and without having the operation folks to add any special management pack for it. We have different ways to configure it. We have, both for .NET and Java and synthetics, we have an express configuration. Launch a wizard, tell me what you want to monitor, next, done. It's turned on, and it gives you data. That's the express configuration. We have for all three of them pretty much this type of experience. And then we have advanced configuration, because the default might not be appropriate enough. You want to start with the default, you take a look, you see what data it gives you, then you iterate from there. And you start figuring out if the threshold needs to be changed a little bit, if you want to add things here and there and improve it a little bit. And so that's more the advanced configuration that we provide that you explicitly need to go into and set when you're ready for it. So you might be wondering, if we instrument the code at runtime, how heavy is this? Is it going to kill performance on my application? The answer is no. We strive to be low impact, running production with minimal overhead. Our tests demonstrate that we normally use about 5% CPU to do this thing. You don't want your machines to run at 80, 90% of CPU anyway. They normally, if they're well utilized, they might be running at 50%, right? So we add the 5% to it. But this gives you the rich information that I'm going to show you in a little bit. We have tested with many large deployments. So internally in Microsoft, we have Microsoft IT deploying that. We monitor Microsoft.com with this technology. We have the people at Xbox Live running this stuff. And we have seen that their throughput and the number of users and pages that they're able to serve is essentially unchanged with or without this instrumentation. So this is a point I wanted to bring across. So let's look at .NET first. As I said, let's look separately first at .NET, then at Java, and then we'll conclude with synthetics and everything all together. .NET. You have heard that we have acquired this company called Avicode. Now, Avigo had a brilliant product. In fact, we have integrated it, but it was a separate product. So it required multiple pieces of infrastructure. You had to deploy two agents, you had to deploy two servers, you had to deploy four databases because there was an operational database and a data warehouse in both products. Additional overhead, additional management needs, additional things to do backups of, and so forth. It's more expensive for an organization. So what we did in Operations Manager 2012, we integrated them tightly, so you only need to deploy Operations Manager. When you install the agent, we also install the APM piece together with it. It's not something you need to do separately. The data flows now through the Operations Manager channel, just like if it was any other sort of monitoring done by Ops Manager. The databases have been combined, so we have both sets of data, the traditional operational data like alerts and state changes and performance counters you had in Operations Manager before, as well as the new APM data, and so in the data warehouse. And when you install the web console, we now install new two additional web consoles that are the application diagnostics and the application advisor that I'm going to use soon. The application diagnostic console and the application advisor console are more targeted towards the developers that want to have those insight into what their application is doing from within, so understand how it's behaving once in production, because without having to install the Operations Manager console, they don't have the full client. They just go with a browser to a web page, and they're able to see the events that their application is generating. This is very powerful. So that's why we kept them distinct. In 2012, we were only supporting Internet Information Server 7 for .NET monitoring. We have heard loud and clear from people that this was kind of a step back from Avigode, which supported more. So, but there was a lot of work that went into the actual integration so that we could not test and implement all of the capabilities. Now, in Service Pack 1, which is coming this year, and at the end of this week, you will have a community technology preview to play with, we also support Windows services running .NET code, again, and you'll see how they fit in the experience in the same way that IIS does. And also, we are supporting Windows Server 2012, so IIS 8. So we are broadening where these capabilities can actually run. The configuration is fairly simple. I'll go through it, but the first step to enable it, other than installing it, is import the right management packs. We use those management packs because we have heard from you that we were doing a bit crazy things. We were creating the same objects from multiple management packs in the past. There was a database discovered by SQL, and then you had the same database discovered by the SharePoint management pack. It doesn't make sense. It's the same piece. So we don't want to do that. We use the inventory from the Internet Information Server management pack. It already knows about your applications. It already knows about your components, application pools, and so forth. We just use that as inventory, and we say that we want to enable the deep monitoring for it. We want to enable the code level functionality for it. With Windows services, same thing. You had already a capability in Operations Manager to define I want to monitor if my service is up or down, right? So we go through that wizard first. You configure the usual up-down capability for the service so that we have an object to target. And once we have the object, then we can enable the deep monitoring on it. We try to keep it simple. And we provide one template so that lets you pick these objects and enable the deep monitoring for them. So at this point, I will show you how you configure this. Let me switch to this machine. And here we are in the Operations Manager console. As you've seen, I've already pre-configured a set of templates, but I'll just run through the wizard with you once to show you what the options available are. So I run the add monitoring wizard, which you're familiar with. I should probably do something like hide my taskbar so that you can see all the buttons. Okay. I'll give a name to my template, nothing fancy till here, it's usual operations manager. Dinner now is the name of my application. And I want to store it in a management pack called, dinner now, which is fairly straightforward at this point. Now, this is the new piece. Here we search for the inventory that has been discovered either by the service template or by the IIS template. Again, in 2012 release, you only have the web inventory. In SP1, you also have the services. I simply go and add, and as you can see, we can search for web application and services. I hope it's readable from the back. You can try it and zoom. And it informs me that to have this inventory, I need to have the IIS management pack imported. And I can search, and I get all my web applications that have been defined. What the beauty of this is that I only see them once. What do you mean, I only see them once? If I have multiple machines running the same tier, the same application component, so in this case, I have a dinner now, that's a front end, and I have a dinner now service, which is a WCF service running as a middle tier. These two things are actually running on multiple machines. Here I'm only saying that I want to monitor them, regardless of where they are. The system already knows where they are. It's showing them once. Same way, now we have added in Service Pack 1 the capability to monitor Windows services. So I won't add it to this one template, but this works in the same way. It shows me the Windows service components that have been previously enabled through the traditional Windows Service Monitoring template that has been in Operations Manager for 4 years now. Once I select my components, so my application is made up of these 2 tiers. If I have multiple environments, let's say production and staging, I can still differentiate them. In fact, if I try to say production here, it doesn't. Let's say this one is a staging. I can still, because I've already have configured production, it won't let me go ahead since I already have it. I can use the group scoping. It's not necessary to group group scoping. You can choose not to do that if you want to monitor it's all the same and you just want to go everywhere on everywhere that the application lives, of course. But if you do have multiple environments, we allow you to specify which group is staging and which group is production so that those two sets of config can go down independently. Maybe I want to collect much more verbose information for staging or development environment that I want to do in production to limit overhead. Or maybe I don't want to monitor all of my set of the web farm. Maybe I want to monitor just one or two machines to start with to see how they behave and how they relate and compare to the other ones that are not instrumented so I can see the difference. And then eventually add machines to the groups and make them get that configuration as well. Let's say I don't do group scoping in this situation, I just proceed. And then the only information I need to ask that's mandatory is this screen. Do I want to get alerts when a performance violation occurs? What is a performance violation? Well, anything above the threshold that's specified below. That is what I call slow. We set this 15-second default setting, which is fairly generous. I mean, if your application really responds slower than 15 seconds, most likely your users are navigating away. Research say that people wait an average of 6 seconds and then they go away. And they pick the next search result, let's say if they're trying to do some operation on an e-commerce site. We put it high because we don't want to flood you with information right away. So let's start from that. It will still tell you maybe there's one or two functions that are slow that could be optimized here and there. Maybe not the whole site is slow, but there's a couple of things that might be slower than the rest. Then you take it from there, you start fixing those problems, and then you can go and lower that threshold in the future. And then we need to say if you want to get events, alerts for exceptions. So when is my application throwing either handled or unhandled exceptions? By default, it's only the unhandled ones. And that's the minimum configuration that you need to do. This one will work. You can simply go next, go a review of the setting I've chosen, create. This will go down to the agent. Please note that it tells me a warning that the IIS might need to be restarted. What this means is that since we need to hook into the application, the very first time you configure this monitoring, you will have to wait for configuration to go down to the agent, and you will then get an alert that tells you you need to do a reset, an IIS reset. Only the very first time you configure that machine. The subsequent times you change certain settings, typically just an application pull is appropriate. We don't do it automatically, of course. We don't want to bring your site down without telling you. We inform you, you can schedule it at any moment when that is appropriate. It can be done. You can pull the machines in rotation, pull them out of the balancer, do the reset. Similarly, if I were to configure a Windows service, I'll get a pop-up there that tells me I need to restart the service to make the monitoring start. This is just a warning. I'll get an alert when that configuration has actually been pushed and this is ready to be done. And I could create. So this is the easy part. This is all I need to do. And it starts getting me data. Now I'll spend a bit more time showing you all the advanced options. Well, maybe not all, because otherwise we'll stay here all day. But I'll show you some of the advanced options. So the first thing I can do is to flip this enable additional configuration to tell that I also want to use the client side. And you see on the left side, I get new tabs. And so I get this customization. So now with the customization, I'm allowed to pick different configurations per tier, per component. I don't want just the global threshold. Maybe my front end and my back end have really different response times, and I should give them different thresholds. And I can also enable the client-side functionality, the client-side monitoring. I've said it on this tier, and I only see the front end here because this is a web app. This is serving HTML pages, so it can actually add the JavaScript for the browsers. The WCF is returning JSON or XML, something that's consumed programmatically. It doesn't make sense to change it. Actually, we would break it if we did. So we don't. And so we don't give the option for one piece that is only a web service consumed by the front end, typically. The client-side configuration is also very similar. For the client-side, for the information that goes down to the browser, I also have a threshold. I have a threshold for the page load altogether, and I have a threshold for the AJAX calls that will happen asynchronously from within the page. I can also decide if I have performance or exception. Here, we turn exception off by default. The settings are very much targeted to try to give you some information right away out of the box, but try to flood the operator. So since it's fairly common to get some JavaScript errors in the browser, we don't automatically alert for that. You can turn it on. You still get the event. And what I want to stress on this event alerts, the terminology could be a little bit confusing. So we generate events from the application that you can see in the consoles, in the advisor and application diagnostics console, with the rich information for development. We can optionally then also alert on those things, but we don't have to necessarily turn the events into alerts. Alerts are for operation people. The server-side configuration at the same time, and we also have a filter where I can say I don't want to send this JavaScript to everybody in the world. Maybe I first want to test it on a set of my agents. Jumping back to server-side configuration, there's these other advanced settings that lets me do a number of more things. So I've got a threshold I saw below, so that I saw before, and I can also be more specific. So if I disable exceptions, you see that this part down here grays out. So exception is furtherly divided into subcategories, such as security, connectivity, and proper failures. Failures are typically bugs, typically errors in the code that the operation people might not be able to do anything. Whereas things like an access denied, that's security. Maybe someone changed the password. There's no need to involve development. There's an operational activity. The operation might be able to go change the password. Or connectivity. There's a request timeout, and hey, you can get to the database. Not much. Of course it doesn't work, but let's plug that wire back in. I mean, there's something that can be done, right? And that's why we have these settings, these default settings. Also, we have monitors. Maybe you don't want individual alerts at all because they might be too noisy, but you still want to know from an operational perspective if over 100% of my requests, if more than 15% of them throw an exception, something is wrong, very wrong. If I only have one occasional error, sure, it can happen. But when many errors occur or when many, many pages are slow, then something maybe that different than the norm. Maybe I do want to know. That's why we have monitors here. We also collect this information as performance counters that you see. This you see in the operations console. This is operational useful information. And again, you get the group scoping. And then we have added all this capability to specify which namespaces to look for, In this case, we have all namespaces selected, but I could remove it if I think that's too much information. I could add a specific namespace or a class in the code. This is an operation that typically gets done after having seen what data comes in, analyzing what is noisy and what I want to turn off, what I want to tweak, or talking with operation together with development to see which parts of the code are more interesting to look at. I can also use this to disable it or to enable additional namespaces or to disable them if they are being noisy and maybe it's a part of the code in a shared library that I get from some vendor and I can't possibly fix myself. Maybe I want to disable monitoring of that specific piece because there's not much that I can optimize there, this type of scenario. And I can also define where to look for exceptions, again, in which namespaces to look for exceptions. And I can also define, so we have a built-in list of things we look for. So even if you select all namespaces, it does not really mean all. It means all minus whatever we have explicitly disabled. We do disable by default a fair amount of the .NET framework because the pieces of the class library that you use that you might not possibly be able to fix even if they were not perfect. So, and it would only flood you with information that's not actionable for you. So I can add my exception handlers and so forth. So you see very, very rich capability, very, very rich. And when I go to the server side customization, I can change these options per each tier and be granular. Maybe I want alerts for the front end and not from the middle tier or vice versa. And I can mix and match the settings this way. For the client side as well, you also have an advanced settings and you can decide what to collect. Images, scripts, exception stack, you can make it more and more rich. And you can also decide, other than the IP filter, that you only want to provide the JavaScript to a subset of your users. Maybe you have a very, very busy website. Now, the fact that you are serving additional JavaScript to everybody, and the fact that if something happens to them, they're posting back to you additional data, maybe affects your bandwidth. And if you have millions of users, maybe it's not necessary to check them all out, you might want to see like 1% of them or 5% of them, and we kind of take that sampling, which still gives you a good feeling without flooding your app. Okay, so this is more of the advanced configuration, and I'm not going to save this because I've already created it previously, so it's already in the system, it's already running, I don't need to apply here. So now, let me switch 1 second to, we have seen how to configure. Now that we know how to configure, and we have seen the express configuration, and we have seen the advanced configuration. And this reminds me, that's why I put the slide here, to remind myself, of course, it's not for you, it's a very selfish reason. It's because I want to show you that we also have an existing application I've configured, the capability to add transactions. So when I go and customize a specific tier, I can go even more granular and set transactions. Transactions can be, in this case, it's a service, it's a Windows service, so it only gives me the options to add function or a WCF method because the Windows service is hosting WCF. Or in the case of the web page, I should have done the other one, which was the front end. I can also add transactions for a specific web page, a specific web service method, a specific MVC page, not an ASPX. So, and we have also done work here in Service Pack 1 to enable more of these types. What you are seeing is the Service Pack 1 current kind of, this is a build from a week ago or so. So you see the state of the art at this point. And here I can say that this page has yet a different threshold than the parent. Maybe my search page is a bit slower. Maybe my login page should be faster than the rest of the tier. And I can go that granular. So you see, you got quite an amount of options to tune how the information looks like. Now, how do I actually use the information this provides me? We have multiple approaches. We can react, or we can be proactive. Most people will start by being reactive, and that's fine. The information we collect is essentially the detection of that something has happened and allows us to triage, to prioritize, to see all the things that are happening in my system and decide which one is a priority, which one I want to fix first, which one I cannot fix and I need to just ignore and so forth. And then when you've made that triaging decision, then you can go and diagnose even further. We are doing additional work, which is not yet in this build, is not yet available, to even integrate with the IntelliTrace people in Visual Studio, so that when an issue is detected, as you have seen in the keynote on Monday, we will actually go and start IntelliTrace for a while and capture that information in a way that doesn't even require the developer to come to the operations management system, but they will get it in the natural format they're used to receive it, so with IntelliTrace, and giving even more information than what we enable by default in production at any given moment. So let's take a look at how we do the reactive approach. How do we look for the problems as they are coming in? Now, the way I've configured this is giving me a number of errors, as you've seen. I've got some server connectivity exception. I've got some security exceptions. I've got some client performance exception. I've got, as you've seen, also the naming here are fairly consistent. We use, in fact, the same rule. Our template does not really create a management pack with rules. Our management pack simply captures your intent, your threshold, your configuration, and we reuse the same rule across all apps, populating it with the right information you put in the template. So for the first time, probably, in Operations Manager, we are able to capture intent as opposed to code. Let's take a look at what DinnerNow is telling me about the client performance. It's telling me that it's low as server response time. And from here, I have a link to the Application Diagnostics Console, which shows me the richer data. Let's see if this one has been is still available. I've got a few events that have been there for a little bit of time. Now, this is showing me that DinnerNow default page is having some issues. Now, the network latency is obviously very fast because I'm running close by. And nevertheless, it's taking 7 and more seconds to wait for the server to send some data back after the request has been issued, which means that purple line is actually the time that the browser is simply waiting to get the response. And that must be something happening on the server side. Then once the information finally is received, it takes half then a second to load the DOM and render it in the browser, which is perfectly fine. Now, here, it gives me a hint. This issue is something that's happening on the server side. Let's look at the chains. So, look at that. We have the client event, but at the same time, we also have a server event. The server event is telling me that this default ASPX page on the server side is also slow. And it's slow because it's calling these WCF services here. And if I switch to the resource group view, I see that 99% of my time is spent in WCF client calls. So essentially, the default page, front end, is spending 7 seconds calling WCF on the back end. Interesting. Yes, I'm getting there. I'm getting somewhere where the issue might be. So now let's continue and walk through this chain. So it's calling this get restaurant categories, 3.5 seconds to go to call one and 3.5 to go another method. And what do they do? I get this one event, and I see the corresponding WCF incoming server-side type of event, which is telling me that I'm doing a link query, and the link query is turning into a SQL statement, so it's linked to SQL, and this is actually the query that's taking 3 seconds. Maybe I can do something at the database level. I can involve my DBA. I can refactor the query. I can put newer hardware on SQL, but at least I know what was causing the slowdown. And in case you're wondering, was the system busy at that time, we also connect a snapshot of performance counters for the 15 minutes prior to this event, so the time window that led to this point, to see what the system was doing during that time. So it's right there. You can see, it happened only once when the system was very busy doing the backup, or like in this case, the system wasn't really doing much, so probably it's really slow. My virtual machine is really slow, so that's the reason here. But nevertheless, this is the type of capability you get with reacting. And again, we show exceptions. Here I have a security exception. Here it's telling me that I'm trying to create an Azure table sorry, an Azure blob or an object in a blob, and I'm getting a access denied. So maybe something in my code here is wrong, or someone changed the access password, the share key in Azure portal, and so I can't connect anymore. And I can see where the exception occurred. I can see how it looks like. I can see the stack from my code down to the line of code that is creating this issue, that is having this error. This is extremely valuable information. You might not be aware that this thing is happening in production without this tool. Is there a question? We use the .NET profiling API on .NET. But we don't profile everything like a full. So the question is, do we do any orchestration or analysis of logs or that type of information to get to this level of detail? Or we don't even look at the code itself. We just use the .NET profiling API, and we know what to look for. So we don't just collect everything like a full tracing would do, but we just search for specific things that we know are I/O bound of what is in the configuration so that we surface those without slowing down the app. The developer does not have to do anything for this. It gets done for them. That's the beauty of it. Is there any method in the SDK? You mean in Operations Manager SDK? No. No. You can query it. I'm going to do a blog post in a couple of weeks or so about how to query the database a little bit. That's on my to-do list when I get to it. The question was if it's programmatically possible to access this information. It's definitely easy to send this to someone without having to, because you can simply copy a link. And this is web, so they can go to the web as well. They don't need to install the thick client, so this one is actually one possible scenario to show the data. This is the link to the, yes, it's the link to the application diagnostics console, so you can copy, paste it in the browser, and you go there. No. The link is not available from the SDK. Okay, let's move on 1 second. I'll take more questions at the end, otherwise we run out of time if I start answering all randomly now. Sorry for that. So let's take a look 1 second at the application advisor itself. So without even coming from the operations console, this is more of the web interface that the developer would go to. And one view I like very much is to group by. Now I'm looking for all data. I can group only by problem. And we see that there are certain problems when this refreshes. It's loading. That happen. Well, I lost the grouping because the session has expired. And I can see the count of when these things are happening, for example. So I can already triage from here and prioritize. Is this thing happening all the time or only once in a while? Or even where is the long tail and where are the things that don't happen very often? And if I only search for either application errors or performance, then I can, and I have more filtering, so I can filter by heaviest stressors. So I can see my heaviest stressors in general is this query. By count or by duration or disk services. This is all the things that are contributing to my app being slow. And I can start from there to go and decide how to fix them. Let's switch back. Yeah. And or we can be proactive. So starting to look at how frequently this thing happens, it's a good start. Definitely in that sense. We can even look at the data that comes in for a longer period of time, such as a few days or weeks, and then run reports on top of them. And so we can see really now the noisiest things were a bit in application diagnostics, but then the grooming is a bit more aggressively. That it's in the operational DB. But I can go to the data warehouse where I have reports and see them on a longer time span. So actually the picture is more representative of what happened since the last deployment or something like that. So let's take a look at the more proactive approach, which involves the use of the application advisor console. The application advisor console looks like this, but let me refresh it just in case also the session here is expired. It's a portal that gives you access to the report specific to the APM data. Anyhow, if you have reporting in Operations Manager, in fact, you need to have it for this to work. Those reports are also published within the Operations Console in the usual place in the reporting task pane. In some cases, it's easier to select the parameters from here because we make use of some strange. So the first thing you want to look at reporting, just to have an high-level overview, is the problem distribution analysis. This tells me, overall, for all of my applications in a given period of time, let's say as from this week, first day, till now, all issues new and reviewed from all sources, everything, show me the most noisy stuff. This report tells me which applications are giving the most troubles and in which area. And when I know in which area they're giving me troubles, then I can decide how to address them. Now I see I have quite a few performance issues, the blue lines, and some application failures. There are a tiny little bit of security issues sometimes. And I can break them down by application components. So my Dinner Now service, it's very slow. It's always the SQL queries that we saw before. They're accounting for all of its troubles. It never throws. It never does any really, really bad. It's just a bit slow. So maybe we can optimize that query. And then I have my other Windows service, which is doing a calculation, and it's throwing. It's throwing exceptions all over the place. And I have additional. So this is extremely interesting. Once I know, and then I see from each one of these where the time is spent, so I know that Dinner Now service is spending most of its time, 99%, typically in database calls, and very little time in internal additional code. So definitely the database is the culprit there. Once I know if I want to focus, so here I see that like this other application is spending some of its time in System.NET, some of its time in Azure and namespaces and so forth. And I'm once I know if I want to address errors, application exceptions, or performance first, then I can go to the more detailed reports. There are like application failure analysis, first the summary, failure analysis, and summary performance analysis. So let's see, I want to see what those exceptions in my Windows service are. So let's go for the failures. And again, let's do it as from yesterday so the query is a little bit faster. My VMs have a hard time today. And I can see that most of my errors come from this, which I already knew before because it was in the summary, but then here I know exactly which error it gives me. It's throwing a null reference exception. So this is very useful information, and when I click here, and here is the integration, I'm able to pick all of the events that we have seen and going back to the other console, to the application diagnostics. Which one do you want to see, the latest or one that happened a few days ago? They're probably very similar, but let's just pick one. And now I can see that I was trying to divide 7 by 0, and the application doesn't handle that, and it throws this exception in this line of code. And it happens so many times, so I can go to my developer and say, hey, here, there's a bug. Whereas for a database, I can go to the DBA or even to the storage team and see if there's anything we can do to improve performance there. So this is more of the proactive approach. And then I can drill even more down with the application failure analysis and application performance that goes down into one single component, and so forth. It's more of a high level, mid, and then in depth. And I also have information about the client side information, like a latency distribution from where my clients come versus which users are accessing my application and who is experiencing the most errors. In case I have a site that requires authentication, here I should be able to see some name. I'm not sure if I have a lot of users here, so this is kind of I'm giving it a try. I might not have much data because my application doesn't always authenticate. I do have something. I got something from my user account in Redmond, and then I have this test user, so I can see who's having the most problems across those users. Okay? And this is more of the proactive approach to how to use this data, the analysis of what happened over a longer period. You like it? Okay, thanks. Now let's move into Java. Switch gears. Java is different. With Java is the first release of our Java monitoring, so we don't reach that level of depth, although we would like to. And in the future, we hopefully will. Java monitoring, before I get into Java monitoring, I need to explain a bit what an application server is, because I'm not sure how many people are familiar with it. Okay, I see most people were interested in .NET. I scared you away. I shouldn't have done that. Oh, my. I should have left the goodies for the end. Okay. Lesson learned. Okay. Java. Java is a big world. So .NET, we play, we run on IIS. It's all our stuff. We know it very well. Java application servers are complex beasts. They're almost like an operating system of their own. They have services like, they are typically bundled with a web server. They offer message queuing, they offer connection pooling, naming, resolution, transactions. They also have their own MBinStore, their own manageability capabilities. This is fairly comparable with what Windows has in performance counters or eventing on WMI, although this is just Java and it runs cross-platform, so it does not use the registry, it does not use the performance counters, it doesn't use WMI, because if it did, it wouldn't run on Unix, right? So it's all internal, and in fact, it's very difficult to access this information from outside the application server. It's very useful and consumable easily from within the application server, from within the apps in the application server, but it's sometimes hard to expose it externally because of all the different... So how do we actually monitor Java? Since we monitor Java both on Windows and on Unix, there are a couple of small differences in the way we start doing this. So first of all, we need to discover that the application server and those applications are actually there. First steps. Seems like an obvious step. It seems like an easy one, but it isn't. It's actually very hard because the same application server in different versions, in different, it can be writing different registry keys in different places, or it can have different files, or it can have a different process name even. So all of the techniques that we use to detect when that thing is present actually are not that reliable, and we have to come up with a lot of signatures to see where all these possibilities are, and we don't actually know them all. We know a good set of them, so in most cases we are able to discover them. But in some cases, we are not. In fact, when we are not, we also provide a script to allow you to tell us, there is my application server, please create an instance of that object so it's there, in case the discovery all fails, in case everything fails. But in most cases, we are able to discover it. So on Unix and on Windows, we support these platforms. We support Tomcat, JBoss, WebSphere, and WebLogic, all four of them on Windows, on SUSE, and on Red Hat. We also support the WebLogic stack on Solaris, and of course the WebSphere on AIX, since it's IBM's territory. We also support, for any one of those, the latest two versions, so the current one and the previous one. In the case of Red Hat and Apache Tomcat, there have been new releases since we started development, so we also started supporting one more, in addition to the two ones we were originally targeting. So this should give you good coverage, because these are really the most common application servers on the market from what our market research and numbers tell us. Okay, so we import the Java management packs, which we provide. They run on the Observation Manager agent. On Windows, they will talk to this component that we have created that's called the BinSpy. This is, oops, what did I do? I turned it off. Oh, my. Sorry. The BinSpy is this new component which we wrote. It's open source. It's available on GitHub, so people can take it and make it run even on other application servers we have not explicitly tested if they want to do so. They can even contribute to it. And it's our primary way to access the Java management extension information, which is typically buried down within the application server and not accessible to the outside world, and give us a door into that information. It's, as a matter of fact, a Java application running alongside with your real applications, which provides us a kind of proxy to the Java Management Extension functionality. On the Unix agent, we do the same thing. We talk to the BinSpy. But in the case of the Unix agents, you know that the Unix agent on Operations Manager doesn't actually proactively do things on its own and talks to the management server. Rather, it gets polled by the management server. So in this case, it's the server that's doing a bit more of the work. Nevertheless, the concept is the same, and it talks over HTTP channel. The Java monitoring is part of the 2012 release, but it is not included on the media. This is because we include open source components, and so they have been shipped separately out of band. We have the guides to configure all four. We have a README, and you have all this set of management packs that provide the capability. So it's a separate download. You go there, you download it, import it, and it should start discovering your application servers. So what you really need to do at the first step for the basic monitoring is simply import the management packs. And that should be it, because it will discover the management servers and start to monitor them by default. That is kind of the base monitoring. The base monitoring, let me switch to my machine again, which went to sleep in the meantime. The basic monitoring gives you visibility into those application servers. Let me pull up the Operations Manager console again. So we have this application monitoring folder. We have been sitting in the .NET monitoring a little bit. Actually, I've been using mostly the alerts. I did not really delve into all of the views that we also have here. But the Java monitoring is a separate folder. And as you see, we have, I did not import all MPs here. I only have Tomcat running, so I only have the Tomcat management pack. And I get my application running on my SUSE agent discovered. Sorry, my application server. And this is telling me this application server is up, it knows the port, it knows the version, a few information. Not quite as deep yet at this first stage. The second stage is, in fact, to... Oh, well, first of all, we need to see if we even get at this stage, because some of these discoveries could be failing in some cases. And especially in Windows, this is fairly tricky because of all the different possibilities. But we can use the command line. When we use the command line, we essentially assume that the BinSpy component has been already deployed. So let me show you. If I go to the deep monitor configuration, these are the ones that have already had the BinSpy deployed and enabled. In fact, I could be on the basic configuration. This is the one that has been discovered. I can copy BinSpy and Universal Discovery file with a task and make it run in the application server, after which I can enable the deep monitoring with this other task down here. Once those things have happened, or even if I use the script, in fact, if I go to deep monitor, you see I have multiple ones, not just the ones you were seeing in configurations. These other two, one it's running, one it's not, they have been added with the script. The one that's not running is not very interesting because it's on Unix, it's on Windows, but the one that is running, you see cloudapp.net, is actually running in Azure. I don't even have an agent there. I just pointed it, it's there, that's the URI. It's running in a worker role in Azure. And I'll show you that in a second, if my mouse decides to appear again. Okay. And this is my Tomcat running in Azure. And I'm talking to it, and I'm monitoring, even if I don't even have an Ops and Azure agent that can run there. And I have this BinSpy application on it that I can query, and it gives me information about what the thing is doing. Performance counters, numbers, information. And I have this other static query. I'll just zoom it so you can read it, although it's written in the slide so you can look it up later. These are static queries we create, kind of REST-based, easy to remember URIs. And the info, it tells me this is Windows Server 2008, is a 32-bit machine, is having all these additional packages. And this is all the rich information that I need to do the deep monitoring. Through these numbers, through this information we retrieve, we are able to tell you key performance indicators such as memory, garbage collector, threads, how many times things are running on these systems and show them just like we've always done in Operations Manager. I've got all these accounts from a machine running in Azure where Tomcat is deployed. Side by side with my .NET monitoring. So this should have given you a bit of a feel of what we do for Java. Again, it's useful information, it's interesting. We also have a third part, which is going even deeper. So after we've imported Java MP, we've got a basic discovery. We deploy BinSpy, we've enabled the deep monitoring. The deep monitoring gives us more because BinSpy exposes those numbers. We can do the manual discovery. I think there's been a mismatch with the slides. And I can run the templates. We provide templates in addition to what we collect out of the box, those counters that we know for every application server. If your application or your application server is exposing additional information about things he knows about, and know, is my data source available? Is my application exposing some data that tells me if things are going okay? I can go and query. It's not a trivial exercise if you've never done it, because JMX syntax is a beast of its own to be digested. But we do provide, at least for Microsoft people, that might be me. But you can go and use these new templates, the Java Application Availability Monitoring and the Performance Monitoring. The difference is that one, the availability creates a monitor reacting on some value in mBeans, so setting what means green and what means red, essentially. Actually, it's three state, also what means warning. And the application performance is got a collection rule as well, that it pulls the information in. And the wizards, I just show you quickly how they look like, but I won't actually configure it in depth because it can be a little bit tricky and require a little bit more testing to get it done. So I give it my name, I give it a usual management pack. I see similarly to .NET, so we try to be symmetric. Also here, it's telling me all of my applications, regardless of where they're running. And so I see that I have this BinSpy running in two places, docs running in two places, and so forth. And I can select against which machine I want to do my mbean query, and I can type it here, which mbean I want to talk to, and I can browse and run a query from here. This takes a bit of time, so we won't do it now because it's just a bit time consuming. And then I can map the return data to health states, essentially. I can tell the path to what means healthy, what means warning, what means critical, and have alerting settings as usual in Operations Manager. If it's a critical or a warning, or how do I want it to look like and what it's supposed to be saying. Okay. So with this, I've shown you Java monitoring. This is more of a review slide of the things we've done. So BinSpy supports the static queries we've used, but it also supports this type of query. As a matter of fact, you deploy BinSpy on your application server. You don't even need to consume it from Operations Manager. You could consume it from your own scripts elsewhere. So a kind of a gift to the community in this sense, because you can just go there and grab it. And it's open source, again, so you or anyone could provide patches, extend it, recompile it, make it run on some other non-supported platform and have fun with it. I know I did initially with a Unix agent years ago where we did not support certain applications, and I forced the hand a little bit and I made it run all over the place. And in fact, now the team that works on cross-platform is actually going to support those after a couple of years. And now I'll give the mic and the time to see how we can bring the synthetic transactions and the .NET monitoring all together and show the health of my application in a single place.
Yeah, so Daniela spent, he walked you through the console and all the rich information that we can gather from the .NET monitoring as well as the Java monitoring. If you went to our talk a couple of days ago, one of the things we emphasized is the rich functions or the rich capabilities that Operations Manager has to offer different perspectives on application health. So we talked in some detail about being able to look inside the application as well as looking outside the application via client-side monitoring, via synthetic transactions, and so forth. Another way to look at this is, you know, what are the different aspects of application health that I want to monitor? So availability is really where synthetic transactions kind of shine. That's the sweet spot for synthetic transactions. So these, you know, operations manager has the capability of running internal synthetic transactions from within your data center. As we announced on Monday, with SP1, we're also including something called Global Service Monitor. And what that does is for your external, your internet-facing web applications, it allows you to run tests, synthetic transactions, from global points of presence. And thereby, you know, if your customers are in a particular geography, you can run and gauge the customer experience from that geography, and you can schedule this. And I'll dig in a little bit more into Global Service Monitor later. Reliability is about, you know, so the .NET monitoring. Daniela talked about the ability to track exceptions and so forth. Synthetic transactions can add value here as well, because you can look at things such as content match. Is the web page returning the data that I expect it to do? In performance, you know, we dug into some depth about the ability to drill down and really see what is causing a particular performance exception. Client-side monitoring also shines here, and also the ability to link what's happening on the client side with what's going on the server side in terms of SQL calls and so forth. Global Service Monitor and synthetic transactions, they also play a role here in that they can measure from a synthetic transaction perspective, you know, how long are things taking. We also dug into the diagnostics and the ability to not just say that something is slow or something is causing an exception, but actually digging in and giving the developer, you know, much more context into what's going on. And the intent here is really trying to close the gap between the operations folks who manage and run the applications and the developers. And really it's about fixing things faster, right? Making sure that your applications are as available and as performant and as reliable as possible. And this is also where the management pack catalog and the things, workload MPs such as SQL Server MP and so forth come in. Finally, we have tools in Operations Manager to help to resolve the issues. We announced or we released the management pack for TFS a few weeks ago, which allows you, we didn't demo this today, but it allows you to take an alert in the Operations Manager console, synchronize that with a TFS server, and basically assign this alert directly to a developer, and thereby also, you know, closing the gap between operations and the development side. So let's take a look at how we can. So now the premise here is that I've set up some .NET monitoring on my application. Let's see how we can add synthetic transactions to this. Let's go back in the console here. So in 2012, we added a new template called Web Application Availability Monitoring. So I have something pre-configured here, but let's take a look at what we can do with this template. So basically, there are three questions that you need to answer. So one is, what is it that you want to monitor? What are the URLs or the endpoints of the application that you want to monitor? The second one is where to monitor from, and these could be internal watchers or internal agents, but these could also be in the global service monitor scenario. You'll be using exactly the same template and basically picking external locations. So these could be things such as Singapore or London or something like that. And then there's also some configuration at the end. How often do you want the test to run, et cetera. So what to monitor here? You can provide a friendly name and then the URL. Nothing particularly complex here. And then you can decide where to monitor from. Notice that we support resource pools here. And as I said, in the global service monitor scenario, this could be a mix of internal locations from within your data center as well as external locations. So notice that we support resource pool here. And the value of this is that you can assign this synthetic transaction not to a single agent, but a pool that basically takes care of running this synthetic transaction. And that means that if that you're not dependent on a single agent to, you know, to actually provide that perspective on availability. Finally, there's a list where you look at the tests, what are all the locations you're running this particular synthetic transaction from. And then there's also a set of settings that allow you to, what are my failure criteria? You know, is it response time? Is it status code, content match? You know, what are the things that should cause this synthetic transaction to fail? There's some fairly rich alerting configuration. You can say that each test should generate an alert, or you can say that I just want a summary alert in the console based on this. And then, you know, you can collect some performance data and so forth. So let's say I've added now this synthetic transaction. So how do I tie this .NET monitoring in with the synthetic transaction and provide kind of an application perspective for the operator? So the way we typically do this is through distributed applications. So in Operations Manager 2012, we included a new distributed application template called .NET 3-tier application. And as a good chef, I have a pre-configured version of this here. So you can see that this contains, if I relay this out, so you can see that this adds the different perspectives on application health. So you have the client perspective. So this is these are my synthetic transactions that are running. I then have the front end or the presentation tier, as well as the business tier and the data tier. So this allows me then, you know, as you usually use the distributed application experience, to pick the instances that make up this application. Okay, so now I've added the synthetic transaction. I've created the distributed application template. So another thing, so this is actually part of SP1, but one of the things we will be offering, and we'd love to have your feedback on this, is a set of dashboards that allow you to see the state of your application in a very simple way. So this dashboard, you know, it uses, so every instance of an application that you define using this template, they will automatically show up in this view. And this is more of a high-level dashboard. The intent of this one is to have something that you can display in a NOC somewhere or on a big screen somewhere. And you can basically see the health of your application at a high level. So you can see at the top, we're looking at things, you know, we're looking at the current state of the application. We're also taking some synthetic transaction data and looking at the average response time. We're also taking the synthetic transaction data and looking at availability. And then we're combining that with the APM data to have a simple measure of performance and reliability. You'll notice a couple of things here. So I had two watchers that were running this synthetic transaction. So what we're doing, we're using a new feature in 2012 that allows me to do a little bit of math on this data. So we're actually aggregating and providing one simple value at this high level in terms of average response time. Availability is obviously an availability percentage. We wanted to have, since this is kind of a high-level thing, we wanted to have a simple measure of performance and reliability as well. So these are basically measuring the percentages of exceptions that you're seeing and the percentages of performance violations that you're seeing based on, you know, what you configured in the template that Daniela showed you. So 100 is basically a perfect score. And if, as your rate of performance violations or exceptions, you know, increases, this is going to go, you know, go down from 100. But we wanted a very simple measure that is very similar to availability. And then you can see over time, you know, what is the average response time over time, availability, and so forth. And since this is a high-level thing, we also wanted to introduce the concept of a goal. You know, what is my SLA and SLO for response time, for example? And what is my goal for reliability? So you can see we have four SLOs in here that basically track. So in terms of the performance, we want, you know, anything below 80% is bad. So you can see that is in violation right now. You can also, if somebody wants to personalize this and they want to look at a different interval, so here we're looking at 24 hours by default, but, you know, each user can basically customize this to fit with their particular need. If you want to throw this up on a NOC somewhere and you're looking at a week or something like that, that's how you can use this this dashboard. So this is a high level dashboard. Let's say I want to drill down a little bit more in kind of do a kind of a troubleshooting scenario. So then if I notice that something is wrong, I can basically go in here and look at the more detailed data. So you can see for average response time, for example, we're now showing both the watchers in here. We're showing the overall health of the application, as well as details about components, instances, and as well as alerts for this particular distributed application. And again, the intent here is to help you more with kind of a troubleshooting scenario. So that's a quick look of how you can start to visualize all this rich data and sort of display it to people in a pretty rich way. Finally, I want to talk about Global Service Monitor. So we announced this on Monday. And like I said, this is going to be a feature of Service Pack 1 of Operations Manager. It's not going to cost anything. And basically, how you can think of this is, think of this as agents in the cloud. So you saw me go through this web application availability monitoring wizard. Basically, you'll go through the same wizard, but you'll assign your tests to London, or you'll assign your test to Singapore or something like that. And these agents are going to run the synthetic transaction on the schedule that you specify, and they're going to return performance data just like your internal agents do. They're going to return alert data and state data and so forth. And you can use this data just as, you know, you would use data from a regular agent running inside your data center. And really, so this is the ability to provide an external facing, you know, what is the external availability of my application from various points of presence. And really start to relate this to SLAs as well, and that may be also provided by an external provider. And then the integration here, so this is actually an Azure service that we have built, or it's actually a hybrid service. There are some pieces that run in Azure, and then there are some pieces that run on external networks that actually do the tests. And you know, you can think of this as basically extending your existing management group into the cloud by providing these agents. And these agents are not something you have to manage. So we basically manage these through this service. And you get to use them for running your synthetic transactions. Right now, so we are, you know, this is ready for you to sign up right now. We won't deliver the final bits until SP1. But if you're interested in this, we'd love to get your feedback on, you know, what is it that you want to do from an external perspective to track availability of your applications. What we support right now is the template that I walked you through. We're also working on adding additional functionality. We're working very closely, like Daniela mentioned, with the Visual Studio team to enable you to run more sophisticated or advanced synthetic transactions as well. So again, you know, shoot me an email or go to this link to sign up for Global Service Monitor. Again, it doesn't cost anything.